Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grebner. With us, as always, to talk all things markets is University of Missouri Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family. We are obviously thankful for you.
Yeah. Likewise. I hope you got lots of turkey yesterday.
There was plenty of turkey, but I have to say the French coconut pie that I made was probably the best thing on our plate. And the Brussels sprouts with bacon.
I likewise got to enjoy Brussels sprouts with bacon, and it was very good.
All right. So really probably a pretty short conversation for us this week. There wasn't too much going on with a shortened holiday week. Let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
Yeah, if we start on the cattle side, cash cattle were about 50 cents higher this week. Those feeder cattle markets, although a very light test, we'll call them 3 to 5 higher this week. On the futures side, the December live cattle futures contract closed up 255, and the January feeder cattle futures contract closed up $5.70 this week. On the beef side, choice box beef price was $9.20 higher this week. That's actually now $11 above where we were a year ago at this time. So some good news, really, when you look at the beef side of the equation. Ribs certainly were important this week, leading the way in terms of higher choice box beef prices. For hogs, the cash hog price was down about 75 cents this week. The December lean hog futures contract closed up $1.85. The pork cutout value was also down about 83 cents on the week.
It really, and I'm assuming pretty light volumes this week with the holiday for most everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we want to get too excited about any direction from what we've done this week. We'll see where markets take us next week when we get back to a full week of activity.
Speaking of the shortened week, weekly slaughter numbers, and you know, we talk about that like 2.7 million on hog slaughter, not going to hit that number this week, but definitely some decent numbers again.
Yeah, Megan, I'd actually say big numbers, right? Big for the fact that we took a day off for Thanksgiving. On the cattle side, the USDA is estimating 564,000 head this week. That is down 100,000 from a week ago. It's actually slightly above year ago levels. So a little bigger run this week on the cattle side. On hogs, 2.35 million head is estimated by USDA this week. That's down 361. But again, taking a day off, that would have been a 2.7 kind of week had we operated all six days. And those numbers for hogs, that's 28,000. Head above where we were a year ago at this time.
Really the only big report for us this week, cold storage. And as we take a look at those numbers, demand for pork is holding relatively strong.
Yeah, that's right, Megan. You know, we continue to get really good news. The October pork ending stocks at 448 million pounds, down from September's 466 million pounds. So all that's moving well. And, you know, you have to remind ourselves that we've been pushing some pretty good production out there. So the fact that demand seems to be taking up the slack, both domestic and internationally, is certainly good news. And, you know, you look at that pork side, and since May, we've really just been sitting here about 450 to 465 million pounds, really well below what traditionally would have been something in that 600 million pound range. Beef side, there's a little bit of difference. We actually now see for October, beef ending stocks setting at 500 million pounds. That's above year ago and above the 460 million pounds that we had in September. So higher numbers when you look at what's been happening on the beef side of the equation.
And are we concerned that maybe there's been a slowdown or a pullback in demand? And does COVID play into that and the whole what's going on with restaurants and as we really head into another slowdown this time of year?
I wish I felt comfortable in answering that question with some certainty, but it certainly suggests to me that we are seeing some slowdown, and one certainly can relate it to COVID. I hope that doesn't continue for us. It's not what we need on the beef side of the equation, if that's in fact what's happening, but it is a marked increase, especially from September to October. And as increased cases have shut down some of the restaurants, side of the equation in many parts of the country. I think that's probably what's at play here.
U.S. Ag trade forecast, those figures came out this week. Let's take a look at those and talk about those export projections for 2021.
Yeah, so overall, some good news here. So USDA for fiscal year 21 said total ag exports at $152 billion. They revised upward their estimate from their August forecast by $11.5 billion. So growth in overall ag exports. However, that's primarily corn and soybeans. When you look at what's happening on the livestock and dairy side of the ledger, all of those categories were basically unchanged from where USDA was in August. And I remind us, so higher corn and soybean exports gets us higher feed costs. And so from a livestock perspective, probably not anything that we want to get too excited about. But we'll see how things play out as we get into fiscal 21. I just keep reminding livestock producers, and you and I have been doing this for a while, feed costs matter as well as cattle and hog prices.
I want to talk just before I let you go this afternoon a little bit about exports in general as we're looking in that whole China picture. For example, looking at export sales, and I know we like to look at the monthly trade picture, but we do casually look at and take into consideration what happens week to week. 3 weeks in a row of marketing year lows for export sales of soybeans. Do we get a little nervous that China's going to back off on some of those purchases, not just for soybeans, but pork eventually as well? And how does that play into what's already a concerning look ahead to 2021?
Yeah, so I see a lot of optimism still from many folks out there on corn and soybeans in particular. And to me, many of them then will back that up with, well, the China hog herd rebuilding is what's really driving, much of this demand. And I like to remind us that, Megan, we're still in China for 2021 talking about being 15 million metric tons below where production was pre-ASF in China. And so although, yes, they're rebuilding and have big expectations, that they're far from rebuilt. If the more they rebuild, I think the tougher it is for us in terms of getting growth in pork exports in 2021. The more they rebuild, the easier it is to get growth in corn and soybean exports. However, I think South America is going to have something to say about this discussion about corn and soybean trade to China as well. So we are going to likely see other countries incentivized as well to try to increase some trade. So I guess I'm more moderate in terms of where I sit right now. But small changes in China can make big changes in any of our trade categories here out of the United States.
Well, that gives us plenty to keep talking about for the weeks and months to come.
I think China will always be a topic of conversation for us for years into the future, Megan.
Scott, as we look ahead to next week, what reports will we be watching for then?
Yeah, so a couple on the demand side. We get Restaurant Performance Index and a jobs report out next week. We also get USDA's next shot of farm income. It will be very interesting to see what they say for 2020 farm income.
We look forward to having that conversation next Friday.
That sounds great, Megan.
Thanks, Scott. To have our weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning, visit our website, brownfieldagnews.com. You can submit questions and subscribe there as well. And for all of the great Brownfield podcasts, visit brownfieldagnews.com/podcast. Have a great weekend. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next Friday. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.